seeking the Lord's help, I would venture now to direct your attention to a word that you will find in the first epistle of the Thessalonians, chapter 4, and particularly verses 13 and 14. The first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, and reading particularly verses 13 and 14. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. These last few verses from verse 13 to the end are sometimes read at the grave of a believer. The latter part of the chapter speaks particularly of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that there are those who have certain views on the second coming of Jesus Christ, but we need to be very careful. The thing is, dear friends, do we know anything of our text experimentally? So, these words are rather abruptly in this fourth chapter that the apostle writes. Concerning them which are asleep. There is a hymn, I think, in the children's book, a well-known hymn, a lovely hymn, I can't quote it very much. Asleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from whom they are never aweep. I'm not perhaps got it correct. But what a blessed sleep it is to sleep in Jesus. I don't know whether some here have had difficulty with sleeping. Personally, I've known in my life times of difficulty in sleeping. And have thought of those perhaps that can just drop off just like that. How lovely it is. But it would appear by what we read that those who are found in Christ, true believers, they just go to sleep. They sleep in Jesus, blessed sleep. And their thoughts have been just a little, dear friends, with Stephen, that first martyr of the church. You probably know the reading of it. How we read in the seventh chapter of the Acts, how he was called to speak, and he speaks before the assembly. He gives the history of the Jews, and he speaks at the latter end a very solemn word which cut them to the quick. And we read this, how could he be speaking of Jesus and the way that they had treated him and crucified him. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It was a most cruel, painful death. Think of the Lord Jesus, his cruel and painful death. It is a time of mourning with our friends, when we are brought to think about death. But how wonderfully the apostle writes in that first epistle to the Corinthians in the 15th chapter. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Satan, the enemies against the church at the time of Stephen, thought they had gained the victory. But the victory was the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian path to a true believer is a warfare. We know in a warfare, we don't like to think of war, do we? But there are many losing battles. It was so in the last war, many losing battles. But there was the victory at the end. And to the Church of God, the child of God, there are many losing battles. They feel they are losing the battle. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And godly Stephen here, the first martyr, I think, of the church. He had the very spirit of Christ. He saw by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the heavens, as it were, Jesus at the right hand of God. But he had the spirit of Christ. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. The Lord Jesus on the cross spoke, I think, these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you think of the terrible death of Stephen here, think of the terrible, awful death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And yet, he prayed for those who had committed this. But here was Stephen. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Asleep in Jesus, blessed sleep. For whom those never wake to weep is a blessed sleep. And you know, to the true believer, whatever the death, whatever the circumstances of the death, they just go to sleep. There's a hymn not in their book, I think, safe in the arms of Jesus. It's a blessed sleep. Well, dear friends, the Lord knows when the time will come when we shall die and the manner of which will be our death. I was speaking some years ago to a man from the Church of England, and he said this: I do not fear death, but I sometimes fear the manner of my death. But that is with the Lord. Now, I do venture this, dear friends, because I think it was a request of dear Ruth that perhaps I would speak a few words at the grave. But it was decided, and I think rightly so, that perhaps any remarks we might say might be able to say perhaps this morning. When you think of our dear friend, late dear friend Aubrey, he went through the war and probably had many dangers, and yet he was brought home. And the manner of his death. The manner of his death. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Over an overcoming faith. Over faith to overcome the obstacles, the difficulties that may be in the way. And so, dear friends, we have then this word concerning, and I believe it did concern our late dear friend Aubrey. And others we have known over the years. It may be those dear ones, perhaps some of you remember this morning, some of the dear ones that feared God. And it could be said of them, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. Oh, there are so many poor souls, dear friends, in this world and I, that have no hope, but have we got that hope? You know, in the teaching of the Spirit, in the experience of the Lord's people, many are brought to rise to a hope in his mercy. And there may be those here who have come to that in their path. The Lord in his mercy has raised you to a hope in his mercy. And I think perhaps of that 42nd Psalm and 43rd Psalm. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Hope thou in God. For hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So, dear friends, have we got a little hope? Have we got a good hope through grace that one day we should be found amongst the ransom souls of God's dear people? Where do we stand in these things? It's good to see as many gather for worship, but dear friends, that alone will not save us. Family relationships will not save us. And yet, you see, as it was with dear Aubrey. He had godly parents, and I believe he had godly grandparents. And oh, the many prayers that would have gone up for the children. How many here have a family, children, and your prayers for them? That will be found followers after the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pastor on Friday, he spoke one or two things that I had thought on myself. For instance, he quoted that word, after the fathers shall come up the children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. And that is very often so. The following on of a generation. We know, of course, there are sadly many who fall by the wayside, and some fall away altogether, and some are brought back. Oh, you know, the Lord can bring back the prodigals. And those perhaps who had attended the Sunday school here, many have passed away now, and yet they perhaps went to the Sunday school. But where are they now? Where are they found? Well, I believe, dear friends, it's a sad thing in our day that there are no Sunday schools. I know, and it's rather good that the Sunday school here is to be started again, because there are those here, including myself, that were brought up in the Sunday school. We used to sit with that shutters down, and we sat facing the pulpit this side, and we had the girls one side, the boys the other side, and we had a teacher with a register. And what a good thing it would be if there would be Sunday schools today. But sadly, so many people today, they don't know anything about Sunday. What does it represent? We believe it represents the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we had a hymn in the Sunday school, this is the day when Christ arose so early from the dead. Why should I keep my eyelids closed and waste my hours in bed? Well, we didn't know much about the things of God in those days, but some of these hymns still remain with us. I just remember, and this is just a passing remark, I lived in Horsebridge, in Lower Horsebridge, and there was a man there who had been brought up to this in this Sunday school. It was a large family. And this man had completely left the house of God, worship. He was taken up wholly in local sport. Well, I met him many years afterwards. He was standing in a doorway in Howsham, a shop doorway. And he'd lost his first wife. And He was very surprised to see him. I was surprised to see him. Well, he seemed a sad man. But he said this to me, if I can quote it right. He said, I always remember a verse that we used to learn in the Sunday school. The childhood years are passing o'er us. Youthful days will soon be gone. Cares and sorrows lie before us. Hidden dangers, snares unknown. He said, I didn't know what it meant. I know what it means now. So you see, that teaching, that learning of the hymn, he found a fertile spot. He said, I didn't know it then, I know it now. So evidently there was something going on in him. And you never know. The seed sown in youth, the upbringing of godly parents, though they may fall away, yet you know that little seed can be sown. Childhood days are passing o'er us. Youthful days will soon be gone. Cares and sorrows lie before us. Hidden dangers, snares unknown. All those hidden dangers. And our late dear friend had those dangers, didn't he? He had those dangers in the war, and yet was brought home. But the remarkable thing was, and of course the pastor did mention this, that he was brought up from childhood and remained as a worshipper here all his days, except for his war years. And that is a remarkable thing. There was also this that the pastor mentioned, and it was something that I thought myself. And you think of those three patriarchs, so often mentioned in the Word of God. We're not, of course, making comparisons, but so often we read of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And think of that thread of God's work through the lives. So we have this word. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I had not thought to read, dear friends, that beautiful account in the 11th chapter of John. But how it seems to tie up. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And in a sense, you know, it related there to Lazarus, didn't it? And what it brought me to read that this morning was a word that seemed to come to my mind this morning that we have read, where Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, but for the glory of God. Again, I got to find the actual reading because I've lost it for a moment in my mind. But that the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You see, dear friends, if we have the work of grace in our hearts, there will be this, that you desire to give him all the glory. And we know, of course, another word, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. But you desire to give God all the glory. And dear Martha, you know, she said, I know that he shall rise again, that is Lazarus, at the last day. She knew that. She believed that. And how did Jesus reply, I think, at that well-known word that is often spoken at funerals or at the beginning of a funeral? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I think we read this word also, our life is hid with Christ in God. Now, dear friends, do we really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I was reading recently, I think it was in one of the papers, I don't know the percentage, but there are those who call themselves Christians who do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Why don't they believe? Because they've never felt it. They've never known the resurrection of power of Christ from the dead. But this is no new thing, because we have it, dear friends, as the apostle found this in the 15th chapter of Corinthians again. He says, "Now if Christ be preached, there be that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." So it is no new thing then, is it, that there should be those who say that Christ was not raised from the dead? Because this is what the apostle had to counter. It was the errors in that day. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Well, what I want to come to, dear friends, is this, and I have no doubt that our dear friend had this, that he knew something of the power of his resurrection. Dear friends, how is it with you and I? Do we know anything of the power of his resurrection? Have we been raised to a good hope? Have we not known that resurrection of power of Christ? Do you think of that beautiful word then that we read concerning Christ and Lazarus? "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby." It relates so often, dear friends, to the sicknesses or the afflictions of God's people. But then I think there was a man at Worthing that also this word was given concerning him, and he died. So it's not only for this life, but it's for eternity. This sickness, the sickness of sin, the illnesses, the ailments, the afflictions that the Lord's people know, not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. And your hope is in the resurrection of Christ. Your hope is in Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So essential this is of Christian belief, that Jesus died and rose again. It's clear in the scriptures, isn't it? Very clear. We have the Gospels, don't we? Speaking of it, well, writing of it in their own way as they saw it. We read of the way, perhaps, that John the Apostle saw it or recorded it. But Mary Magdalene came very early in the morning. There was those godly women that came early in the morning bringing the spices with them to anoint him in his burial. They did not know that Christ was risen. Mary Magdalene did not know that Christ was risen, but she tarried around the tomb, as we read, when the other disciples had gone home. So much was her love and devotion to the Lord Jesus that she would remain at the tomb thoroughly, weeping. But dear friends, what a wonderful surprise she had. What a wonderful blessing she had. Now Jesus was there. She didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize him. And see, dear friends, if you follow these things through, the Lord is working in your path, but you cannot see him. A bit like Job, really. You couldn't see him in front, you couldn't see him behind, you couldn't see him on the left hand where he worked, you couldn't see him on the right hand. Yet he said this by faith, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, that's faith. He knoweth the way that I take. He knew all about Mary Magdalene, and he revealed himself, and he spoke one word. Mary, that revived her. Ah, she knew the resurrection power of Christ. She knew the reviving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what are all these portions of God's word? I think of another one that comes to my mind. I think it is in the 16th of John. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. There's so much that we read in the scriptures, and also of the resurrection of Christ, that surely confirm, but it's knowing it in the experience. It's passing through it in the experience. This sickness is not unto death. Why? It brings you to the throne of grace. It brings you to feel your need. It brings you to realize that eternity is before you. Oh yes, these things are divine teaching. It's one thing to hear it from the pulpit, friends. It's another thing to experience it in your own way. Oh, the Lord said, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. There are many times of darkness, many times when you cannot feel the Lord's presence. But he says, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. So we have this word, this beautiful word, that, as I said, is so often read at the grave of a believer. That I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. It infers that the believer has a hope. Maybe a little hope, but then there's a good hope, through grace, of eternal life, through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So, the Apostle Paul, I may have already mentioned it, but the Apostle Paul was so clear. He wrote, I think, to the church at Philippi. You know, the apostle had a great love to the church at Philippi because he and others were diverted by the Spirit to go there. I think we read of this word, a man from Macedonia said or cried, come over into Macedonia and help us. Which they essayed to do, which they were obedient to do. His cry for help, his call for help. Maybe that word has an application to some here. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And they were directed by the Spirit. It had not been their thought to go, but they were moved by the Spirit to go. And so it may be something in your path that you were directed to go. You were moved by the Spirit to go. You didn't think you had to go there. Perhaps you didn't think you had to worship here or whatever. Dear friends, you know we cannot choose where we worship, can we? I do know, and I speak very carefully and lovingly today, because the motor cars made a great difference. Some of the older ones will remember that you could not worship anywhere else. You had to go to your local chapel or church, whatever it was, because you had to walk or you had to cycle. But now we have the car. And of course that can take people far and wide. But the great thing is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And sometimes you may, I don't know why I say this, but sometimes you may have an inclination, you may have a temptation, well, no, I'll go somewhere else. And you know, if you've committed to the Lord, you have to prove this, that you're not your own. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which of God, we're not our own. We'd like to be our own, wouldn't we? We seem to live in a day when people say, I'm going to do what I want to do. But the child of God should say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Is that firmly embedded in your experience? Not because you've heard it, not because merely you've read it, though it's good to read it and hear it, but you know something of death. Let me put it to you this way, dear friends. You've been killed under the law of God. Maybe unusual to hear this today, but you've been killed under the law of God. The law of God says, do this, do that, and do something else, but you find you cannot do it. And if you do it, it doesn't bring any peace. But what I was going to mention, dear friends, concerning Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, you see, he had that good hope, we read, that he was confident of this very thing, that he, that is God, which had begun a good work, would perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He had that sweet hope. But then he goes on in the fourth chapter to urge them that they concentrate upon deeper things, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. So there is a need, dear friends, to pursue that narrow way till Christ you be. So where are we in our experience? have we got that good hope through grace of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not merely in the head, dear friends. It's what's in the heart. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. What a wonderful thing it is to have a good hope through grace, isn't it? Of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For if we believe, by divine teaching, by experience, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, they sleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from whom none ever wake to wake. It's a blessed sleep. It's a wonderful thing, dear friends, as I said at the outset, some of you may have difficulties in sleeping. It's not unusual to die in all the hectic life to die. And, you know, sometimes you may have some great disturbances. Ah, but my friends, you know, when the believer comes to die, they sleep in Jesus. They're safe in the arms of Jesus. Blessed sleep, from which none other wake to weep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he rose again, we read, he rose again for our justification. This was the essential themes of the Apostle Paul and of the other apostles. It was the essential themes that Christ died and rose again. They knew something of the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. It's a reviving power. It's a restoring power. I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten. As we read in Joel, the caterpillar, the palmer worm and so on, that great army which God had sent to destroy the crops. I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten. The years of sorrow. The years of backsliding. The years of darkness. I will restore to you. It's all nete. It's all based upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust of any frame, but wholly rest on Jesus' name. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God bring with him. Amen.